It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Brian Harman is the champion golfer of the year. He wins the Open by a staggering 6 shots over Tom Kim, Sepp Straka, Jason Day, and John Rahm, who all finished tied for second at -7. Emiliano Grillo and Roy McIlroy finished tied for 6th at 6 under par. It was the first major victory for Harman, who gets to keep the claret jug for a year, and his name will forever be engraved on it, and takes home $3 million with the win. Harman fired rounds of 67, 65, 69, and 70 for a final 72-hole total of 13 under par, 271. His victory has all but assured him a spot on this year's United States Ryder Cup team as well. Here is the champion golfer of the year after winning the claret jug.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. It was a tough last 3 days. It really was. Being able to get some sleep was big last night. Sleeping on a lead like that's really difficult. So glad of the way I hung in there the last couple days. Got off to a bad start both days and turned it around. So really happy with that.
Congratulations to Brian with his win at Royal Liverpool and becoming the Open champion and the champion golfer of the year. The 152nd Open Championship will be played at Royal Troon in 2004. Coming up in this edition, I sit down with Gavin Fairweather, who is a starter and golf host at the Old Course in St. Andrews, Scotland. Gavin will give you tips on booking a tee time at the Old Course or any of the courses of St. Andrews, and give you insight into what it is like seeing golfers live out their dream of getting to play one of the oldest courses in the world. Before we get to Gavin, I need to tell you about one of our great sponsors, Blackman Auctions. Thomas Blackman knows auctions. If you are looking for that one piece of farm equipment that you just can't pull the trigger on anywhere else, maybe you can get it at an auction. Check out all of their upcoming auctions at blackmanauctions.com. We are back after this.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet. The sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to blackmanauctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I'm Trey Schaap. In late June, I took a trip to Scotland with my wife, Amy, and Coach Joe Foley and his wife, Chris. It was a goal for Coach and I to play the Old Course at St. Andrews. We tried every way possible to get a guaranteed tee time, but we were not successful. We finally decided that we would have to get in the singles line and sleep by the old pavilion overnight. We got in line a little before 8 p.m. and were number 6 and 7 in line. This is where we met Gavin Fairweather, who had the tee sheet for the next day, and with 13 guaranteed spots, he assured us we would make it on. All we had to do was make it through the night, and we would get our chance to play. And who would be on the tee the next day when it was our time to tee off? Gavin Fairweather. On the tee, golf host and starter at the Old Course in St. Andrews, Scotland, Gavin Fairweather.
Gavin Fairweather, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass here in the home of golf, Scotland.
Yeah, good morning.
St. Andrews.
Brilliant and a beautiful day we've got here.
It's an
overlooking the courses there.
Unbelievable day. You're a starter. Describe to the listener what that entails.
So my job, I work for the golf department within St. Andrews Links, and I'm a golfer's assistant, and my main role is working up at the Old Pavilion, which is by the first tee of the Old Course. There, our role is to meet and greet any visiting golfers and also the starter on the tee. So it's the welcome once they've got on the tee, settle their nerves, take the photo, the iconic photo on the first tee in front of the R&A building, and then get every game as it goes off during the day, and also dealing with the singles list, which is very important, and people who want to play the old, and we fill them into spaces that appear in the ballot on a daily basis.
Let's explain to the listener how you can actually get on and play the Old Course. There are several different ways to get on.
Correct. There is the tour operator's way, where people, there's certain commercial times and people can access them by going through one of our authorised providers, which is on the website, and they get in contact with them. There's various companies in Scotland and across the United States as well. We also, in the last week in August, first week in September, we do a ballot for the following year, so people can plan a trip. They can access it through our reservations department. They have that two-week window, and then they can put in for ballots drawn. There's only a certain amount of times. It's called the preferred advanced tee times. You'll get an email in September saying you've been successful or unsuccessful in the ballot, and if you've got your set date, let's say, for example, the 29th of June 2024, then you can build the rest of your tour itinerary around that. Mm-hmm. If you're unsuccessful with those ways, I want to look at another option, is the ballot, which a lot of the Americans call it the lottery. We call it the ballot here. And what happens is the times on the Old Course are available 2 days in advance. So, for example, we're sitting here on a Thursday morning, so the ballot for Saturday closes at 2 p.m. today. So people had a 24-hour window from yesterday afternoon, once Friday's ballot had closed, to put in their applications. So the minimum you're allowed on is two people. So if people are putting twos, threes, or fours, then they put in for the ballot and see if they're successful for time on the Saturday or whatever day that they're looking for.
And then the final way to potentially get on is to camp out.
Yeah, sure. And that's what we're called, the singles list. If you're unsuccessful in the ballot, and this year is a phenomenal year, every year after the Open is always well demanded. And like, for example, the ballot for today was 204 ballot cards over. So that was four balls. So that's over 800 golfers looking for a tee time on the old. If there's just twos or threes in the ballot, those spaces, people can see that on a daily basis. It's published. And then that's when you say they'll come and camp out. They'll speak to us in the Old Pavilion, ask, and they'll see what times are available. And depend on how determined people are, as you've seen yourself or been yourself, people will camp out to try and get that coveted spot.
I was determined, Gavin.
You were determined.
I was
and
extremely
you were successful.
Determined. Yes. Yes.
We saw you there in the queue the other night, and you yourself beat the rain yesterday and had a beautiful afternoon as well on the old.
It was one of the greatest days of golf in my life.
Sure, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
The amount of, that's one thing I like from working the singles list or up on the tee. The nerves you see of people when they're about to go, the anticipation, But when they come off and you're still standing in the tee and you remember the guys, guys and girls that have gone out and they come up and give you a big high five or think, oh, what an awesome day. And that's one of the most fulfilling things of my job, you know, especially when you get somebody who's waited all night like yourself and you say, there's your tee time, and you see you when you come off with that big grin.
I was going to say, you don't see people that are upset very often, do you?
No,
can't get on.
Unless they can't get on.
Yeah.
And then it becomes part of our job at the... One of our commercial directors was just talking, describing... He introduced somebody to us the other day, and he said, our role, like what Gavin does, you can become a psychologist to people, keeping their nerves calm, keeping them trying to suppress the disappointment and say, come back for another day, or giving them advice of what better days are there for camping out, say, well, it's not worth it. If you're still here, for example, come back another day because it looks like there are more openings and what have you.
For those back in the States, when is the best time if they want to try and plan a trip here to St. Andrews and play? What are the best times?
Sure. Times of year or...
Yeah.
I always say, because the weather is very nice, generally a springtime here I really like is April, May, or... But if people are going for the height of the summer, by April, May, you've got a sort of nice time of the year for playing there. Also, the shoulder season, just after the Dunhill into October, it's a less busy time for tournaments because we have the RNA medal for the autumn meeting during September and also the Dunhill. So any time after that is always quite a good... We get an Indian summer sometimes in October. But if you're coming at the height of the season... The options that I've mentioned to you before, the pre-time or the ballots or the advanced times are best to try and look for times on the old.
Gavin, one thing I noticed in playing the course is the fact that television doesn't do it justice, kind of like what people say about Augusta National.
Sure.
The fact that television just can't do the undulations, the movement of the course justice until you're here in person.
Sure. Totally agree with you. Some people say, oh, is this... when they're looking at home end, as we call it there, without the stands and everything, it just looks beautiful to them when you're seeing the coast as well away from stands. But a good point to that is, I think if you probably noticed last night and with the sunlight with the Old Course Hotel, coming down 17-2, it just looks flat on the TV, but there's so many undulations and everything like that, just as you've said. And I always think it's quite awesome when you're coming down that and looking like, you come around that corner on 17 at the road hole and where's my ball? And all of a sudden you find yourself in a good position in the fairway, but you can't see it until you've come over one of those many mounds, you know?
When did you first pick up a golf club?
First time I picked up a golf club was when I was about 6 years old. I was brought up in the Middle East and played golf at a place called Awali Golf Club in Bahrain, and it was a desert course. So it was pure desert and the greens were... oiled sand. So as soon as you'd played on it, they actually had one greenkeeper for every 18 holes, and they would just come and brush the greens for the next people coming down from. So it was a bit of a surreal experience, you know. But playing desert golf as well, you could hit a ball and it would hit a rock or a boulder in front of you and go about 70 yards behind. So it was quite frustrating.
Oh, wow, I bet.
But then you came something. To when our family was from Scotland, so when I came to boarding school here, then I played a lot more golf here. And because where we are based on the east coast of Scotland, and I played at Monifieth and Carnoustie, and some of the golf there, just beautiful, right up and down the east coast. And then obviously now, working here the last 7 years at St. Andrews is just, well, you know, the seven courses that we've got here is just awesome, awesome.
And you get to play pretty much on your off days if you would like?
Yes, yeah. We always try, I prefer trying to... an early bird, trying to get out one of the early tee times because you don't want to be sort of playing for... I like to fly around or try and get on the New or the Jubilee or even the Castle because you've got some spectacular views from up there playing early morning. And ballot for the old to bring friends or family who want to try and play on the old. But during the season, we're just so busy and so focused up at the... So really between... My golf goes... pretty quiet from April to about the end of the Dunhill. Mm-hmm. And then during the winter, it's a lot easier to get on the old in terms of the ballots and play. So,
in the winter time on the old course, you do have to use mats. Is that every course out here?
Correct,
or just
yes,
the old
yeah.
course?
It's just, no, it's all of them. So during that period, it's just protecting the course from the divots and there's lack of growth mm-hmm. at that time of year. I'm not an expert greenkeeper, but yes.
Is it difficult to play off the mats?
Actually, funny enough, my short game's a lot better from that. I don't thin the ball or stuff. A lot of people don't want it, but part of our job here when I do range ranger in the winter is making sure people play off the mats. It's, you know, it really is essential for protecting the course so that people, when it does, the grass does and grow again, people enjoy it, the fruits of it in the summer.
When did you decide that, okay, I want to work at St. Andrews?
It was actually, I'd worked in a couple events through something else. I'd always been in sales, and I got into, by chance, working at the Irish Open through with a car parking company who looked after, with the R&A, they had the contract for the Open, and I really enjoyed the vibe and everything like that, and I worked at the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles, and just through a contact, a friend of mine who was already working here, I'd come back to Scotland from working in sales in Ireland, and he said there was, why not join seasonal at St. Andrews? So I hummed and hawed about it, but then I thought, took it on, and then what's not to love falling into? I mean, looking out that window there, what a great office that is, and the amount of people, even on a rainy day, the amount of people I speak to, tourists and visitors, the golfers, say, what the best, and I said, yes, the best office in the world, you know.
And they come over here and they expect to have bad weather, too.
Correct,
I mean,
yeah.
I packed for it.
Yes.
But luckily, it's been
it's
perfect.
It's been perfect, and honestly, a lot of people are disappointed because
they want
the challenge of what they've seen on a miserable day on the Open. Ideally, everybody would like to play in conditions like what we're looking out today. But when it's wet and wild and it puts an extra club or extra challenge onto you, especially as you've seen when you get out towards the estuary where the Eden is, when you're on that tough 11th hole into the wind there sometimes in the winter. Tell you, should come and play with me in the winter sometime here.
I'll talk my wife into it. I'm definitely coming back. I'll tell you that right off the bat. You said as we were walking over from the clubhouse that only one time have you seen the course have to close because of conditions.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of times just with natural. We had the Beast from the East with the snow, but that's one of the things. But actually on a playing day, and funny enough, it was in an August time. The morning started like this, but we were warned of heavy rains or possible thunder. But it actually just started lashing down about... I was working the singles list that day as well. We were getting people out. And I've never seen such torrential rain come down within an hour. Now, it's sand-based here, so the greens and the fairways, and it normally drains quite quickly. But oh, the smoking burn was overflowing. There was... You can actually had a swimming pool. If I had the photos, in fact, I've got photos somewhere, but the Valley of Sin was lit like a little lake. That was the first time I've seen a proper water feature on the courses.
Wow.
And we were all hands to the pump, if you pardon the pun. We were out squeegeeing the greens, trying to get it on. The greenkeepers were moving some of the holes, like on 16, to a higher position point.
Yeah.
But it was just, and that's the first time I've actually seen play, right, let's stop it. So we actually, and again, normally we tee off 6:30 every morning. The next day, that was a Friday afternoon. The next day, the Saturday, some of the games that were stored, or people who'd had caught out, and the visitors, because the R&A had time, so we actually put the visitors back out. And I think we teed off at 5:40 in the morning just to get those games before the next day's play started at 6:30. And when you came down the next morning, it was a sunny morning like this, and you said, where's all that water gone?
And it's, you know, just gone.
Yeah, and the putting green, like at the first, where you had been practicing in front of the Opal Vein, that was just a mini paddling pool.
You know?
And then the next morning, everything was... Where was... Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, monsoon.
When you get into the queue, as you all call it over here, we call it a line.
Right,
Back in the States. For that single time to try and get on the old course and you camp out, what's the earliest time you've heard of someone getting in line to try and play the next day?
We try not to give a time to people because we don't want to disappoint somebody. If I said to you, people start coming at 4 or 5 in the morning, and then this is what we were saying about having angry golfers coming back to you earlier in the conversation, and you turned up and there was 50 people, you would say, oh, you told me such and such. So we always just say whatever's sort of comfortable for you. Yesterday afternoon was one of the closest. A bloke turned up and was queuing there from 4 p.m. We told him there was plenty of times, but no, he was adamant that he was getting. And the only other one I'd known earlier than that, and it was actually a colleague of ours, who's a seasonal, and he, it was an old tradition in his family. He played with his granddad and his dad and his son, so he was wanting to play with his granddad's son. And there was the first dart time was available last summer, and he queued from 1:30 in the afternoon in front of the by the starter's box, because that's where a ticket holder would go for that dart time, so he could play with his dad, granddad, and mum the next day. But that was the most inventive as well. He had his friends every 2 hours. He's a student in the university here. He had somebody would come down with his tea, so they would sit and have a little bit of pizza. And then somebody else would come and they had cocktails at 7 o'clock at the sunset. Then he had a friend come down at 1 for 2 hours watching, streaming a video or a film. And then he had the last stint before to 6, he had his friends come down with Bucks Fizz breakfast. So he had planned. That's the most inventive I've ever seen.
One thing, Gavin, that I noticed in camping out overnight, I call it camping out. I mean, there were a couple of people that had sleeping bags. You might have brought a comforter off of your hotel bed, sure, a pillow or something. There are heaters underneath there because it can get quite chilly at night. But if it's not cloudy, and you come in this time of the year, the summertime, I would say probably, what, from 1st of June to late August, that it really never gets totally pitch black, dark.
I mean, I think if you saw the other day when I left, it was quite dark for people. We shut up shop at the last visitor game was finishing. It's 11:15. It was like a pop concert a little bit on the 18th green with the phones going. But within an hour or even less, it was starting to get light again. So, yeah, we just passed the longest day, and it is very bright, and it can be beautiful. And you see some of the sunsets. I don't know if it's sunsets and then sunrises from the east. It can be quite spectacular.
The sunrise was just breathtaking.
We don't encourage people to try it for the singles this spring in too many things, but it's, as I said, it's down to each person's comfort. And
when the Open is here, what's it like?
Buzzing. The whole town is just gridlocked. But yeah, it's it can be like a circus coming to town. The infrastructure build starts in all the different points from March time. In fact, you've got the driving range and practice area is out of commission from about April, because that's where the tented village and spectator village and everything goes. And then you see all the different structures, all the different parts as you gradually go. And being heavily involved in it last year, it was an amazing experience. Absolutely, you know, the 150th Open was just, and record crowds and everything. So
did it live up to all of the hype for you?
Yes. It was a little bit, I think golf crowds are becoming a little bit more boisterous, so it made us working on the marshalling side a little bit more difficult. But yeah, it did, I think. And there was some excellent golf, and even on the last day, Rory played a canny sort of game, but Cam Smith was just outstanding, you know, the last, and it added to all the, and Cameron Young as well chased him at the end, so it was.
Some tried to make, I don't know what you will of it, but Tiger crossing the Swilcombe Bridge as Rory was teeing off number one.
That was a big moment.
Right, and some are saying that might be the last time Tiger plays in an Open here. Let's hope not.
Let's hope not,
but if it was, what a scene.
Well, it was, yeah, and I was down at that area just because we knew the build-up of and the timing of it, and the RNA plan is obviously doing that, and it was a nice day as well, and it was that Friday, and it was just, that was I think many people who did that little amphitheatre around 17, the people in the stands there and up 18 and waiting at the crossing, I know a lot of friends were down at that bit, just asked me what times, and they said that'll live in their memories, just the two things, just for a special golfing moment.
The Walker Cup is going to be here later this year.
2nd and 3rd of September here, yes.
Great Britain and Ireland against the USA.
Yeah, and it'll be great, you know, and it's great that it's back on the old course, and with us working at the St. Andrews Links, we're going to be heavily involved with it, helping the RNA and hopefully an exciting tournament. I think it will be. We've just had the Lynx Trophy here where a lot of the Great Britain and Ireland squad were playing. And, yeah, it was awesome standing by the first tee watching and up 18, watching some of that golf there to what we normally see on a daily basis.
I was going to say, what are some of the tee shots that you normally see on the first tee? Have you ever witnessed someone that really can't get the ball on the tee because they're so nervous?
Yes, yeah, I've seen hands, people's hands shaking. First time I did it, playing for the first time again, I hadn't played for about 19 years, and started cheekily announced my name just as I was doing that, and my hand was shaking, and I put it over by the russets, so I topped the ball off it, you know. But yeah, I've seen some fantastic shots, and then I've seen one when I've been standing there on the old course, and the balls come through the tee box and hit me on the toe, and I've seen ones go way onto the beach. So believe me, you know, it is the biggest fairway, but the nerves do get hold of even the good golfers.
Your office view, does it ever get old?
No. Pardon the pun with the old, but yeah, it's great looking out on the old all the time, or even standing out there, and you've got the West Sands to your right hand side when you're looking, and then all the architecture down and the buildings down the links. It's just, yeah, it's great. And standing there early evening, early morning, I actually love being the starter early mornings. On days like this, you get somebody starting off at 6:30 and it's just so quiet, and it's hard to explain, but it's awesome.
Best golf course besides St. Andrews you've ever played?
Best I've ever played. I actually like King's Barnes down the road. And with our work, we're doing the Alfred Dunhill Championship. We get to play down there. And I've always been blessed with having good weather. Carnoustie I liked as well, but that was tough. And I can see why it's called Carnoustie sometimes.
Carnoustie.
Yeah. And another one, just because I've worked at the Scottish Open and the Ladies British Open and the Open, is at I like Troon and also Castle Stewart. And Castle Stewart again is just because of the views along the Murray Firth and Inverness up to the Black Isle. Just awesome on days like this as well. I played and it was awesome.
Gavin, three other golfers that you could play a foursome with, living or deceased, who would they be?
Living or deceased, I would actually like to play with Arnold Palmer. Because I used to like watching him when I was younger as well, and him and Gary Player at that sort of era. Was lucky enough, and Tom Watson, were lucky enough to meet Gary Player and Tom Watson last year with our work with the Open and the build up, and they were here for a month, and great characters. It was a great experience working with them. But I'd like to have played with Arnold Palmer. One, because I've met him on a lot of the tournaments here, because I've been quite pallied with my work at marshalling. I would like to play around with Tommy Fleetwood, and I would add Ricky Fowler to that, actually, because they're both great, awesome guys and down to earth. So yeah, I'd like to play a four ball with those. I know it's other people would had maybe more iconic ones, but I would add those three to my four ball if they want to join me on the old.
I'm sure they would. Yeah, Gavin, thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
Been amazing.
Yeah,
thanks.
Nice to meet you, Trey. All the best.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. Me sponsoring a golf show is great irony. I've been a phenomenally bad golfer for 30 years. I don't know the difference between a penalty area and a bunker. I like it, but I'm really bad. You listen to this show and to Trey because he's a great golfer and knows the game backwards and forwards. I know auctions like Trey knows golf. I've been a professional auctioneer for 30 years. I know auctions. Trey knows golf. Listen to the correct expert. Call me to learn about auctions, not Trey. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to From the Shortgrass. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. We are out of time for this edition of From the Shortgrass. I hope that you learned something about how you could potentially get on the old course at St. Andrews today. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.